Today, on Rainbow Country, it's my very first Oscars episode. Oscars 2020. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Garrett Conley, author of Boy Erased, a memoir. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Hello, and welcome to Rainbow Country. As I like to call it, a little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community and beyond. As always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. So, this is episode 186. Today, Oscars 2020. I'll be joined by a handful of movie experts, and we are going to break down the Oscars, the Oscar nominations, and who we would give our Oscar to. So, my friends, are you ready to talk about all things Oscar? Up next, Oscars 2020.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
Did you know Jews can read each other's minds?
But how would you know if you saw one? They could look just like us.
Hi. Ah!
You know what I am?
Say it.
A Jew. Gesundheit.
Gotham has lost its way. What kind of coward would do something that cold-blooded? Someone who hides behind a mask.
You're gonna build a car to beat Ferrari with a Ford.
Correct.
And how long did you tell them that you needed? 200-300 years?
90 days.
Women, they have minds and they have souls as well as just hearts.
I want to be great or nothing.
And they've got ambition and they've got talent as well as just beauty. And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
It's not as simple as not being in love anymore.
Eventually, it'll be the two of you having to figure this out. Together.
So, Rick, explain to the audience exactly what it is a stunt double does.
Actors are required to do a lot of dangerous stuff. Cliff here is meant to help carry the load.
이게 위조나 범죄라고 생각하지 않아요? 참으로 시적절하다. 부자들이 원래 참 잘 속아. 그래서 사모님이 뭐랄까.
풀타임으로 수업 어떻게 하시는지. Is it okay with you?
Hiya, Frank. Would you like to be a part of history?
Yes, I would.
Big business and the government are working together, trying to pull us apart. Something's got to be done.
I know things they don't know I know.
He is the acting director of learning at TIFF, Keith Benny. Hi.
Hi, Mark.
From culturalmining.com and Daniel Garber at the movies, heard on CIUT Friday morning. Daniel Garber, hi.
Hi, Mark. Great to see you again.
Thank you both for being here in person, taking your time to talk about all things Oscar. Crazy, crazy. So we're here to talk about who's going to take home Oscar gold on Sunday. But before we do that, I want to get a quick update on the two of you, what you guys have been up to more recently. You've both been on the show before, and actually both of you have been on episodes leading up to TIFF 2019. Keith Benny, you're part of TIFF in general. Mm-hmm. What's going on with you and with TIFF right now?
So last time I saw you, yeah, we were getting ready for the festival. We had a really fantastic film festival in September. And what's been really exciting recently is that we've brought a number of those festival films back to the Lightbox year-round. We had The Irishman, Parasite, Marriage Story, Uncut Gems, all for Toronto audiences here to see on the big screen. So if you didn't catch it at the film festival, there's opportunities to see it. And we're just about to have the Oscar shorts in the building as well. So anyone looking to catch up on all of their Oscar picks and prepare for that special Sunday, we're showing a lot of this great content, and we're really excited to be able to connect Toronto audiences with these amazing films.
Fantastic. Daniel Garber, you were here, like I just said, leading up to TIFF 2019, but most recently you did an interview with world-renowned film producer Robert Lantos.
Oh, yeah.
Being Julia, Exotica, Johnny Mnemonic. How did that go?
It was actually an interesting interview. It didn't go exactly how I thought it would go. However, I was, and I didn't necessarily agree with his point of view, but it was an interesting interview. We talked about his new film he produced called The Song of Names. I believe, was that one of Canada Top 10? Choices, or maybe not.
It was at our festival in September, and yeah, I do believe it was part of the top 10.
Yeah. Interesting historical drama.
Well, that's quite the coup for you.
Yeah, sure.
Well done.
Thank you.
So, the Academy Awards given for artistic and technical merit in the film industry by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. 2020 marks the 92nd Academy Awards. There are going to be 24 televised categories. But first of all, some background. Films with the most nominations: Joker, 11 nominations, with 10 nominations, 1917, The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, with 6 nominations, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, Marriage Story, Parasite, with 4 nominations, Ford v. Ferrari. Okay. Thoughts on films with the most nominations. Keith, Benny, thoughts on the films that I just mentioned with, you know, the varying nominations? Yeah. Anything surprised you?
Surprised me. I mean, first off, we were really excited to be able to premiere most of those at TIFF in September. So Jojo Rabbit won our audience award, which, you know, now is known in Toronto as a big precursor to what will become nominated. We saw that with Green Book, and then, you know, sometimes what also goes on to win. I think it's a really interesting group. It's, I think, really important to see Parasite there. Film like Roma of the year previous that was nominated for both Best Foreign Feature, now called International Feature, and Best Picture. And so it'll be interesting to see how that category goes, having a film in both.
Does it surprise you that Joker is leading the way with the most nominations?
I think it's not surprising to me, no. I think coming out of Venice and then at TIFF, it gained momentum and crazy buzz. And then, you know, the controversy too around the film and its portrayal of a young male, you know, generated a lot of publicity, a lot of controversy. But I think the Academy members have awarded it for a lot of the technical achievements, the music, and of course, Joaquin Phoenix's amazing performance. Yeah. And so there's a lot going for Joker. It's got a lot of momentum, but we'll see what comes.
Yeah. Daniel Garber, thoughts?
I think one of the biggest surprises were how many films were made by Netflix, which is not an actual – not the normal Hollywood studios. Mm-hmm. That's what surprises me the most. Also, that the number one pick is Joker for all its importance as dealing with mental illness and struggling alienated characters and crime and stuff. It is a superhero or supervillain movie, which I've never heard of winning the most nominations in an Oscar. This is unheard of.
But when you see the film, it doesn't come across as a superhero film. Like, there's nobody flying in that or with superpowers or anything.
I mean, you could even say that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a superhero movie with the Brad Pitt character, a de facto indestructible character who saves the day. It just doesn't use someone recognized as a superhero.
That's
superhero.
A bit of a stretch, though, Daniel Garber. I don't know if I.
It's an interesting take. I mean, Leo DiCaprio does have a flamethrower in,
that's
in
right.
the film.
That's
so,
right.
It's an interesting. Yeah, I like that.
I don't go for that. Okay. Film studio nominations. Daniel Garber, you just mentioned Netflix, 24 nominations. Disney, 23 nominations. Sony, 20 nominations. And this year marks the first time that a streaming service has the most nominations. Crazy. Keith Benny, thoughts?
I mean, Netflix is looking to have that Best Picture winner as part of their platform. We saw it, you know, last year with Roma, and again this year putting a lot of resources and funding behind Martin Scorsese and The Irishman. They're after prestige, and I think that, you know, regardless of whether their film wins Best Picture this year, they've found it with 24 nominations.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Netflix films too that are up for consideration, they range in genre and, you know, Marriage Story. As well. In any
Two
other
Popes.
Year, I think A Marriage Story would come out as a real strong film. There's a lot of great content that they've created this year.
Daniel Garber?
Did you know that of the 50 top grossing films of all time, I think there were 9 of them were released over the past year. So in other words, they had 9 films released over the past year that cleared over $1 billion dollars, and of these, a few of them made it into the Oscars, which rarely happens because it's not the blockbusters, it's more often the art films that get nominated. So I think Joker, Toy Story got a nomination, and Lion King got some kind of a surprisingly enough nomination of some sort. As well as Star Wars. Did Star Wars get it? Yeah, they were nominated for Best Special Effects, maybe.
Sound and effects and that sort of thing.
But what it means is there's a colossal amount of money pouring into Hollywood for blockbuster, big tentpole type movies, whereas the lower or middle budget ones are turning to streaming sites like Netflix in order to get made because the studios don't want to put their names behind it.
Okay. Oscar snubs. I'm going to focus on 2, but feel free to mention others that really pop into your mind. Hustlers, Jennifer Lopez. She was nominated for a Golden Globe as well as a SAG, Screen Actors Guild. She got nominated for both of those, as well as Taron Egerton, Rocketman. He won Best Actor at the Golden Globes and was nominated for a SAG. Keith Benny, thoughts on Oscar snubs?
Yeah, I have a long list of Oscar snubs.
out of your long list,
yeah,
are there any that I haven't mentioned, but one that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I think Awkwafina in The Farewell.
Okay.
And that film itself, I really surprised not to see it. We did a really great advanced preview in the summer. And I think Awkwafina's performance is so subtle and understated. And the other one, I'm just going to sneak one more in there, would be Uncut Gems.
Okay.
Everything across the board. I love that film.
It hasn't been getting a lot of love, that film.
Oh, yeah. It depends who you're talking to.
It's in terms of audiences.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's a hard film. I don't think it's Sandler's performance is so overcharged and almost heart attack inducing.
Yeah.
But it stuck with me.
Hmm. Daniel Garber, thoughts on snubs?
So I don't necessarily think they were the best performances of the year, but the obvious snubs to me are Adam Sandler and Eddie Murphy, both known as comic actors who are really trying hard to get nominated as serious actors. And I think they both did an excellent job. Adam Sandler, of course, played a character that you have to hate or that gives you the creeps. He's not a sympathetic character at all, but I think he did it very well. And Eddie Murphy did his, you know, in Dolomite, was – I hate Eddie Murphy. I haven't seen a good movie he's made in 2 or 3 decades. And here he was on the screen showing himself bare without any makeup and stuff like that. I thought it was amazing.
What's that?
Yeah. And my other big snub is in the international film category. It was in the long list of Oscars, but on the short list, The Painted Bird.
Okay.
I was very sad and surprised that that didn't get nominated.
That was at TIFF 2019. Okay, here we go. Actress in a supporting role. The nominees are Kathy Bates, Richard Jewell, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson, Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh, Little Women, Margot Robbie, Bombshell. Keith Benny, did you want to say who you give your Oscar to?
My Oscar would go to Laura Dern, Marriage Story, both because I think she will win and I think she deserves to win. I think that her performance was a complete standout in a film that had amazing performances across the board.
And she has the momentum. She won the Golden Globe and I think even the SAG.
Yeah. It seems to be her year for this category.
I hated that character.
Yeah, well, it's
like I didn't like
she
her character.
Does it so well, yeah.
Yeah. Danielle Garber.
Same.
Yeah.
She was a – although I thought Scarlett Johansson was excellent in the same movie. And maybe she was a supporting role in that. But yes, Laura Dern is going to get it.
Yeah. So that's the three of us. Wow.
All right. All aligned.
All aligned. Okay. Actor in a supporting role. And the nominees are Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino, The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And your Oscar, Keith Benny, goes to?
Brad Pitt. I really – my heart wants me to vote for Joe Pesci, but Brad Pitt was my favorite. He's just a grounding force in that film. You're really the character that guides you through the whole three-hour affair, and he's so consistently there.
Okay. Daniel Garber?
I haven't seen the Mr. Rogers movie, but I wouldn't vote for Tom Hanks anyway. Just I've had enough of him. I've seen all the rest. I think Brad Pitt definitely.
Okay.
No question.
I haven't seen A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood or The Two Popes, but I've seen the others. And Brad Pitt on the roof, no shirt. Hello.
Yeah, he can fix my antenna any day.
Any day. But I have to say, I really enjoyed The Irishman, but I really enjoyed Joe Pesci. And I would give him my Oscar.
He's one of my favorite actors. I mean, My Cousin Vinny, I will watch it any time of the year. And again, I maybe there's something for me about this understated performances this year. People not doing above and beyond everything. They're just there, consistent and present. And Joe Pesci, Brad Pitt, and a few others, they just feel like they're really understated.
The one thing with Brad Pitt was when he won for – I think it was either his SAG, maybe it was the SAG award, and he – it was – did he win the SAG?
I think he did, yeah.
And in his acceptance speech for that, he said he plays like an actor, you know, fixing roofs, all this with his shirt off. And he said like it's a real stretch being, sarcastic.
Right.
And it seemed like maybe he was saying that he was basically playing himself. Sort of kind of maybe. So that's why I went to Joe Pesci because I'm like, that guy's kind of crazy in that film. Understated.
But I like the fact that Brad Pitt felt so comfortable in the role. He didn't seem to be acting, just seemed to be being there. Although in the opposite end, Al Pacino in another one of his really over-the-top roles, I thought it was great as Jimmy Hoffa in The Irishman.
Yeah. Well said, everyone. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Bill 7, to ban discrimination in employment, government services, and housing, based on a person's sexual orientation, was up for a vote at Queen's Park. Most NDP and Liberal MPPs supported the bill, but without some progressive conservative legislators' backing, a divisive split could rack the province. Four PCs decided to break party ranks to vote with their conscience and support Bill 7. Cabinet Minister and MPP Dennis Timbrell did it to show solidarity for his beloved brother, the well-known drag queen, Rusty Ryan. And for me, a gay politician who was not yet out, I had to take a stand. We were known as the Gang of Four. I'm former Cabinet Minister and MPP Phil Gillies. The date, December 2nd, 1986, when LGBT rights came to Ontario.
My name is Charles Officer, and I'm the writer and director of Invisible Essence, The Little Prince. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Okay, visual effects. The nominations are Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, The Lion King, 1917, and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Keith, any ideas?
1917, I think, looking at the visual effects in this film, and I think some of the technical requirements will go to that film.
To do with the quote-unquote long...
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that more with the cinematography as well.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Garber?
I was thinking 1917 as well because of the beautiful cinematography, but I have a feeling Irishman might be trying to get it because of the CGI effects, which I personally thought were terrible. They faked de-aging of the faces, which I think didn't work.
Okay. So 1917. Writing adapted screenplay. The nominations are The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, The Two Popes. Keith?
Little Women, I think, takes this one. I think this is the Academy's opportunity to give Greta Gerwig an award, someone who should have been nominated for Best Director, but was a bit of someone who's overlooked this year. So I think this is Little Women.
Writing. Okay. Daniel Garber?
Of the five, that's the one I haven't seen. Oh, plus Jokers. I've only seen three of them, but...
Out of the ones that you have seen.
Yeah. So I think maybe Jojo Rabbit.
Okay.
Never know.
Okay. Writing original screenplay. Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. Keith Benny.
I think this could go in multiple directions. I would personally give it to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for this. I think this is the opportunity to give Quentin Tarantino some love on Oscar night where he won't get it in other categories.
Daniel Garber.
Again, this could go every which way, probably to Parasite, but I think it should go to Knives Out because it's the cleverest, most intricately written screenplay of all the ones on offer.
I have to go with Marriage Story.
It's three different picks.
I know. Okay. Costume design. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Keith Benny?
I think they're going to go with the Little Women period piece, all the big dresses in that. I mean, I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood should also take this, but I think Little Women will triumph.
Daniel Garber?
I think it might go to Once Upon a Time. Just because the costumes, the fashion, the capturing of the era was so perfectly done.
Okay. I think Little Women, too. Okay. Makeup and hairstyle. Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, 1917. Keith Benny.
I'm going to go on a limb and say Bombshell for this one.
Okay.
I loved what they did with all the prosthetics and the makeup, and it made the film for me.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly.
I was going to say, crazy. Bombshell, hands down. Charlize Theron, I've never seen a more perfect impersonation of a current living character.
Yeah, Bombshell. Yeah. Me too, Bombshell.
Amazing.
Crazy. Okay, film editing. Ford v. Ferrari, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Keith Bennett?
I'm going to say Ford v. Ferrari. They put you right in the middle of that car, and they really drive that home.
Animated feature film, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Toy Story 4, Missing Link. Personally, I think that Missing Link has the edge because it won the Golden Globe. That's who I think would get the Oscar. Does anybody want to weigh on this? Daniel Garber?
I wish it would win. It seems to be the only original one of the five. The rest are sequels or remakes or another in the same genre. But I have a feeling another one like Toy Story 4 might win instead.
We will see.
But I do hope, and that's Canadian as well, you know. The Missing Link. Yes.
Best Song, Music, Original Song. The nominees are I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away, Toy Story 4, I'm Standing With You, Breakthrough, Into the Unknown, Frozen 2, Stand Up, Harriet, I'm Gonna Love Me Again. I think that I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man by Bernie Taupin and Elton John. I think that has the edge. It won the Golden Globe, and it's probably going to win the Oscar. That's my take. Anyone want to weigh in?
I'd agree. Yeah, I think we're going to see Elton John on stage at the Oscars.
I might be
one of the only LGBTQ plus wins of the night, because you know there was a lot of LGBTQ characters and nominations last year, not as many so this year.
Daniel Garber?
I have a feeling it's going to win, but there's also Stand Up in Harriet, which has got a lot of airplay. And a friend of mine, this is my opinion, says Beyonce should win for Lion King. I don't even know what the song is, so I can't comment on
that. We'll find out on Sunday. Okay, a special shout out, a Canadian connection, documentary short subject, St. Louis Superman, and a shout out going to Sammy Kahn for his documentary, St. Louis Superman. Well done for being nominated. We'll find out on Sunday. Okay. Here we go. Cinematography. The nominees are The Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And your Oscar, Daniel Garber, goes to...
It's got to go to 1917. That was the most spectacular cinematography I've ever seen, even though...
Roger Deakins.
Even though Lighthouse was amazing and Parasite was fantastic as well. But that was the terrestrial of light and dark and shadow in that movie.
The
candlelight.
Shot.
It was just fantastic.
Yeah. Keith Benny?
Yeah. Roger Deakins is the master. He'll take it.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. International feature film. This was the foreign language film originally, I think, and now it's got it through a name change. The nominees are Corpus Christi from Poland, Honeyland, North Macedonia, Les Miserables from France, Pain and Glory, Spain, Parasite, South Korea, and I think on 1, 2, 3, the winner is Parasite?
Not necessarily.
Okay, Daniel Garber.
And I'll tell you why. I mean, this is a bit of a spoiler for later on in the show. I have a feeling Parasite's going to take the big ones, and so they're not going to vote him for best foreign film. I have a feeling he might win for best picture.
Okay.
Therefore, I think it'll go to Pain and Glory.
Okay. Okay. Keith Bennett?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting play of events. I think Parasite's going to win this one.
Yeah.
It would be my choice. You know what I had hoped to see in this category was Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is a film we had at the festival. And France decided to nominate Les Miserables.
Which is also a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good. But Portrait, I felt like, was the best queer story of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Parasite's going to take it in this category, because I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. But hey, what do I know? On that note, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola, and I'm an actor and a writer. And I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 895 FM, discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station specifically for our issues to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And of course our artists and the things that we do globally and right here in Toronto and talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So support. Tune in. Thank you.
I'm Sander Urien.
And I'm Danny Bensi.
And you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT
89.5 FM.
Okay, so here we go. Best actress in a leading role, and the nominees are Cynthia Erivo, Harriet, Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan, Little Women, Charlize Theron, Bombshell, Renee Zellweger, Judy. And your Oscar, Keith, goes to?
Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story.
Okay.
I thought her performance was fantastic. Renee Zellweger, of course, has a lot of momentum, and the Academy loves a comeback. But my Oscar goes to Scarlett Johansson.
Hmm. Daniel Garber?
Again, I'm going to say the same, but I'm looking at it from a slightly messed up perspective because I haven't seen Judy, Little Women, or Harriet. So that's I haven't seen 3 out of 5. But of the two I saw, I would say Marriage Story, not Bombshell.
I'm going with Renee Zellweger because she's doing her own singing in that movie and acting, and I thought she did a great job. I like Judy Garland. I'm not a huge Judy Garland fan, so I didn't necessarily know all the ins and outs of that particular time in her life. Quite enjoyed the film and enjoyed Renee Zellweger. I loved Scarlett Johansson in that film. Such a powerful film, Marriage Story. But I'm giving it to Renee Zellweger, and we'll find out on Sunday. Okay, actor in a leading role, and the nominees are Antonio Banderas, Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver, Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes, and your Oscar, Daniel Garber, goes to?
Antonio Banderas. He's the one who should win.
Okay. Keith? Benny?
Also Antonio Banderas.
Really?
Yeah, that is – if I had an Oscar, that's who I would give it to.
Okay. I'm going with Joaquin Phoenix because he really touched me and I didn't see Pain Glory.
You don't like subtitles.
I don't. So yeah, that's interesting. The two of you going with Antonio Banderas. He hasn't gotten anything. He's got nominations.
I think he won the actor prize at the Cannes Film Festival.
Did he?
For Pain and Glory. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Joaquin has all the momentum and will likely win the category. But
but you're going with Antonio.
Yeah, I think it was such a strong performance. I sound like a broken record, but those understated performances, but they stay with you. I thought he was fantastic.
First time I've ever seen him with not looking like movie star, looking like Almodovar. So letting his beard run out, gray hair, funny, gaining weight, scars. You know, I thought it was a totally different performance from anything. He's always been a Spanish movie star type character, leading man. Mm-hmm. He's never been this much of a character that I've seen.
Okay. Next category, directing. And the nominees are The Irishman, Martin Scorsese, Joker, Todd Phillips, 1917, Sam Mendes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino, Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. And your Oscar, Daniel Garber, goes to?
Bong Joon-ho, Parasite.
Okay.
Hands down.
Directing, okay.
Yeah, no
Keith
one
Benny?
Else.
Bong Joon-ho as well.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a film about our time right now. Yeah, mm-hmm. Inequity between classes, environmentalism. It was fantastic.
For directing. I'm giving it to 1917 Sam Mendes just because of all the planning for that film, pulling that off, the one-shot take, quote-unquote. And it's a powerful film with a powerful message. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of kind of split, but, you know, we'll find out soon enough. Okay, Best Picture. And the nominees are Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, and your Oscar, Keith Benny, goes to?
Parasite. That is what I hope will win on Oscar night.
Okay. Daniel Garber?
Parasite. I made my list of best movies of the year, so I had about 10 or 11 of them. The only one from my list that matched the Oscar list of Best Picture was Parasite. So I have to I have to vote for that one.
I'm going with 1917. Again, with the, I think it has the momentum going into it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think, I mean, the great thing is it feels a bit wider open this year.
Yeah.
Parasite.
There's no lock.
1917. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is even, you know, the Academy loves their Hollywood film movies, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a, yeah, it'll be an interesting night.
Here's my take on Parasite. I enjoyed the film. I didn't love the film because it's a subtitled film. And I don't want to go to a movie where I have to read the movie. I know I'm in the minority. I know that.
At this table, anyway.
But I don't enjoy subtitles. I don't. And that's why I didn't go for that particular film, because I'm concentrating and I didn't connect with it mm-hmm. emotionally. Ford v. Ferrari made me cry. Ford v. Ferrari made me laugh. But Parasite didn't, because I'm concentrating on reading rather than the interaction between the characters. And it is a powerful film, don't get me wrong. But I'm not big on reading a film. But that's just me.
I thought Parasite is a absolutely fantastic movie. It started out feeling like it was a knockoff of Shoplifters from last year, a Corrieta's movie. But which did it win? Yeah, well, it won Best Foreign Language Film last year. But after about 20 minutes, half an hour, it takes off in such an unexpected direction that it kept me glued to the screen. It started out like just a social justice type, you know, the state we're in type movie. And it went off in as such a wild, shocking, flabbergasting, not comedy, but thriller, comedy, horror, whatever you want to call it, that it totally blew me away.
Yeah, it is kind of genre-defying.
Genre-busting, yeah.
And I've been trying to describe it to people who haven't seen it.
And you don't want to give spoilers because the movie depends on the surprises.
Right. And you inevitably just tell them to go see it, you know, because it's really hard to describe. So, yeah, I think he pulled off something really incredible.
And it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny film.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of the Oscars and the show, I don't know if they're going with a host
Year.
It's hostless this year.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, are you guys going to watch the Oscars?
Keith? I mean, oh yeah, I go to a fantastic Oscar party every year,
okay.
Held by the Weinstein family here in Canada, the Canadian Weinsteins. Larry Weinstein is a film director, as okay. is his daughter Ali Weinstein, and they throw a great party every year. So that's where I usually am.
I also go to a great party every year, but it's a pre-Oscar party. So the after party depends on where I see it. I may watch it or I may just skip it.
Okay. Do you care for the red carpet aspect of the Oscars?
It's not why I tune in necessarily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the first thing I'm looking for. Since I was a little kid, I used to watch the Oscars as this, you know, Super Bowl for artists type thing. Yeah. And it has that kind of, why we watch the movies and we really want to celebrate those amazing performances.
Do you care about the red carpet, Daniel Garber?
Not a bit.
Okay.
Not at all. If it's, I think of it more something on in the background while you chat with people and sure. get drunk.
Yeah. I love the red carpet. It's like, girl, who are you wearing? Ooh, girl, you shouldn't be wearing that. I'm like crazy, you know, get-ups and what people are wearing and, you know, all that sort of. I do enjoy that whole aspect of it. And then the after parties, because usually they cover that as well, especially online, like Variety and other outlets will stream things. Oh, wow. What's that one party? The governor's party and going to the governor's ball.
Oh, wow.
And so they'll be there streaming that usually like on Twitter, that sort of thing. A lot of fun. What's your favorite aspect of the show, the Oscars show? Do you have a favorite aspect?
I For me, I think it's when there is a surprise, when something is genuinely unexpected. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I forget who she was up against, but when Olivia Colman won Best Actress for The Favourite last year and wasn't favored to win, mm-hmm. that felt to me like a genuine moment of real excitement, both for her and for those watching. And so to create that moment, you can see that montage of Oscar moments over the years, mm-hmm. and it feels like those electric times are when something goes unexpected and mm-hmm. you get to see someone have a natural reaction.
Daniel?
Similarly, when they read the wrong winner like they did with Moonlight and they give it to La La Land by mistake.
That was
and
amazing.
Then suddenly, that was a bit of a shock, mm-hmm. I got to say, the way they messed up. So
I watched that live and yeah. it was amazing.
Yeah.
What is going on?
That's they come up and say, that was a real shock, yeah.
Do you guys miss the opening, like an opening number? Remember when that comedian, what's his name?
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, right. Thank you. He would do like these amazing montages. Mm-hmm. I miss that, you know? Because he would be talking about the Best Picture nominees.
I think I just miss Billy Crystal is what mm-hmm. I miss. I think the host is such a challenging yeah. job. And I think Ellen and, you know, others, you know, it's really hard. But I really like to get down to the meat and potatoes of things. Mm-hmm. And some of that can sometimes feel a bit like antics or gags. And
yeah. What do you think about like live performers, live performances, musical performances? Like last year they had Lady Gaga and
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They shared that intimate moment. Yeah, of course.
Performing together.
I saw the movie not too long before and I was waiting for him to wet his pants. Isn't that in the movie he like pisses yes. in his pants and then falls down scene. And almost dies? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but it didn't live up to its expectations.
But do you enjoy the live performers?
You know, I do. It inevitably makes the night go on a little longer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get to see Beyonce or Celine Dion or Lady Gaga. You know, they really elevate the performance. I remember Celine Dion, you know, My Heart Will yeah. Titanic. I remember that as a moment of real performance yeah. during yeah. the ceremony.
I used to like to watch when they would do it's the thing you can sort of love to hate because they would have these really over the top, ugly or ridiculous dance routines with people running around in ridiculous costumes. And then every once in a while, someone would trip because it's all live. So mm-hmm. I like that was sort of an old school of TV that really doesn't exist anymore, except on the Oscars. But they seem to have taken it off the Oscars too.
Wow. So how can people find out more about you guys online, that sort of thing? Keith Benny, how can people find out more about you?
Sure. TIFF.net is our website. We show films all day, every day at the Lightbox, which is at the corner of King and John Streets here in Toronto. We are showing Oscar shorts in the lead up to Sunday. So come check those out if you want to win your Oscar pool.
Daniel Garber, how can people find out more about you online?
They should listen to this station, CIUT 89.5 FM, on Friday morning between 9 and 10. I review movies and interview filmmakers and the occasional actor. And you can find me online at culturalmining.com. Just go to the news, reviews, and reviews column to see what the latest one up. I put up the interviews, the MP3s, more or less a few days after the radio show.
Well said. Everybody, well done, well said, and thank you for giving your Oscars away.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Mark. It was great.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
Did you know Jews can read each other's minds?
But how would you know if you saw one? They could look just like us.
Hi. You know what I am?
Sid.
A Jew. Gesundheit.
Gotham has lost its way. What kind of coward would do something that cold-blooded? Someone who hides behind a mask.
You're gonna build a car to beat Ferrari with
A. Ford.
Correct.
And how long did you tell them that you needed? 200-300 years?
90 days.
Women, they have minds and they have souls as well as just hearts.
I want to be great or nothing.
And they've got ambition and they've got talent as well as just beauty. And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
It's not as simple as not being in love anymore.
Eventually, it'll be the two of you having to figure this out. Together.
So, Rick, explain to the audience exactly what it is a stunt double does.
Actors are required to do a lot of dangerous stuff. Cliff here is meant to help carry the load.
이게 위조나 범죄라고 생각하지 않아요? 참으로 시의적절하다. 부자들이 원래 참 잘 속아. 사모님이 뭐랄까.
풀타임으로 수업 어떻게 하시는지. Is it okay with you?
Hi, Frank. Would you like to be a part of history?
Yes, I would.
Big business and the government are working together, trying to pull us apart.
Something's got to be done. I know things they don't know I know.
Hi, this is Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls, and you're listening to Rainbow Country on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Again, a special thanks to Keith Benny and Daniel Garber. To keep up to date with all things Rainbow Country, make sure you follow me on socials. On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, at Mark Tara Music. Do you want to be on the show? Maybe you know someone who should be on the show? Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and on Spotify. So, get Rainbow Country wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And the official Rainbow Country playlist is on Spotify. And of course, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Torrey, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.